I was once in a gatekeepers.
They don't have to come out of it.
Okay, what are we talking about? It's
already... What?
Sikum. We're holding on page Mem Zayin.
Yeah, talk.
We're holding on page Mem Zayin as well.
Mem
Zayin. Amud Mem Zayin. Simin and Vav, okay? Omer Seichel, so now he's summing up. Zeh HaKlal, Shlei Musa Yisbarach Mitzaratza Ili Musa Klal. Kashbarach of Shlei Mitzaratzmo is not Musa. Ach, Betzoso Lassos Bechok Tuvo, Lefach is Boisim HaMaisim Shem Fi Akenu, Lo Yose. So being a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to do things the fear kenu, some eitzes v'gulgulei and hagala v'kol abriyas l'shem v'tikun, he's created a whole system to bring us to the shleimus. V'zeh ha-nistah shebechol ma'isav tzad ha-shav shebehem. V'nistrim zeh k'tzas min ha-k'tzas menu mizgale. V'nistorim zeh k'tzas min ha-k'tzas menu mizgale v'nikach ha-maisav atzom. K'tzorzik v'perchenein. So you have like this. You have pieces that are visible to us, palpable to us, and relevant to us. You have an underflow of a derech that's nister, and every so often something breaks through that you see where things are coming from. You see sort of mahalchim that are breaking through the hester. Efes ruba adayin shem roim niskal musa klal. If every chassid is on the floor, but roiv of it is nistal from us. I want to stop here a second and talk about a point. When you ask yourself, what is the point of teres anista? So the Ramchal in one of his places writes, to know and to understand the hidden mahalchim that are happening in the Bria as we see the overt mahalchim. It's something which we're teifis, the pnimius habria, while the chitzenis is going on. So even though it's totally valid on the outside, and everything you see is explainable within that context, just about everything, but you can also understand what are the subtle mahalchim going on underneath.
What does it mean that everything is understandable on the outside? That is, Jewish history doesn't seem to be understandable.
No, but mahalchim of mitzvahs and schar and onesh and chiyuv and ptur, all of these things.
Okay, so it's a really big vignette.
Shas has a validity in its own right and does not need Kabbalah to understand it. But you can, in the mahalchim that are happening, you can understand when you do this mitzvah, this tikkun happens, that tikkun happens. You're talking about some underneath process that's happening. Okay. Behine, Tsarach Shatedi, can Hoga Misyaches is Marshall Baruch Hu and Hoga Sashlemus. So that Hoga that's totally valid within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world of Asiya, that's the Hanhaga of Chitzonius. That's Hanhaga that's called the Pnimistic one. Kiu Shalem, Poel Baruch Shem Musay. Ubi Yois. Shekvar Sida Vesama Chukim Vastorim, Lemashe Gil Nevram, the Fidacha Tovara, being that he's already put that machinery into the Bria, Hine Yechoshvo Toza Chukim Isaim Gedova Bome Elam. So now we look at the schar and the oynish and whatever happens as a result of the natural mahalchim as being mitam the natural mahalchim. Example: I can look at things falling to the ground because of gravity. I don't have to keep talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I can look at many of the different items. I did a mitzvah, I get schar. I did a veser, I get oynish. All of these things I can see as a toitzah, a toloda of the normal mahalach. And that's why you can't exactly say that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's primary anahata. It's just like things falling down by gravity or the sun shining or everything like that. I don't think that that's... I don't have to see Hashem in each act of something falling down. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system and then the system runs itself.
Is it a bigger madriga to see it in each act, or it's false?
For almost all of us, it's false. But the only person, the Gemara says about Reb Chanina.
Mishamar
L'Shem. Right. So Reb Chutna has it. I mean, it's not him, but he said it. He said he's holding by the darga of seeing Maisa Bracious. So Misha Amal L'Shem Shidlok, Yoyma L'Chaymes V'Yidlok. It means that he perceives the Bria at the very Shoresh. But that's a Hanhaga that is not genuine. If we were to do that, we'd be liars, and it wouldn't work for that reason.
But I also mean, I guess, like this, that the whole machlok is about, whether every single thing that's happening, Ashkal Kaprat, is Akash Baruch is pushing on each button, or whether he's set in motion.
Well, that's almost meaningless.
Right.
We're not mispalal every morning. Listen, if gravity were to stop working, it would be terrible. We're not mispalal every morning that Akash Baruch gravity work, the sunshine, the thermodynamics and stuff like that. We're not mispalal for that. I don't fill us for that. Within the tchum of the variables in nature, more rain, less rain, healthier bodies, less healthy bodies, that there's a makom to.
So when a person's saying, Mashal Hashem, wow, look at this leaf falling, and they're making it fall.
So I look at that hug, I say, look at a world that you set up. And that's, when an event planner, when somebody runs an event, has it like a chashev yeshiva dinner with one of the panaris, we're not going to, till January 10th.
Okay, I'll make the phone call. I'm sorry.
So it's not a fantastic. If the person who's running the event is running like a chicken without a head, take this, bring this, bring that. I don't see he's doing phenomenal on hug over here. I see he doesn't know. He's pretty cool and things are running and just keeping an eye on things and occasionally he'll push something into place. Do you say that's somebody you want? It is the godless nevoyer. They set up a system that has an eternal validity, and we could be misanchored as such.
I guess you're talking about the midrashim of every blade of grass gadel, that kind of thing.
First it says a malach, a malach is gadel.
But I'm saying it seems like there's this that each little micro thing that's happening on some level might be a direct. Directive, as opposed to saying that the big picture is set up and Hashem says go.
Is that the Pshat the Malach? Is the Malach Gufa that system?
The Malach is Gadel. Malach is a system.
Nature.
Malach is a system. We have to know how to distinguish Malach from a system from nature. We do have to discern that. But yes, we need to do that. But I'll call Panim.
So what is the distinction? That is, I thought nature is essentially a malach. That is, it's an expression.
Yeah, but so then why the word Chazal mean by malach is makalosh and like gadel? It as opposed to what? In other words, in that context, certainly a malach is not a kodesh baruch hu. Certainly a malach is we're talking about another entity. But I'd like to understand a little bit more what exactly we're referring to in that context. I don't know. With the malach that's makal arishem gadel, what does that imply? What's that malach? What are we talking about?
So how generally do we think malach? This week's parsha, malach goes in the korah.
Okay, you have to know that. We shouldn't talk about it. There's a lot. Since when are you misspell about a malach, to a malach, and so on? Issue, problem. Okay. So he says, "Va'omnom kol zman shan hagas hatoyva rat zichul shamesh mipulos Hashem atzmoi yimoshko pulos abos mipukatov rat." So, as long as this hanhag is going on, then it's the pa'ulos come from the tov ra'ah. We do good, more good happens to the world, more things fall into place. You do bad, things fall apart. V'zeh k'alpan kalpanim mikora kolu ashlemus. L'maisa, the shorosh of everything is Akash Baruch Hu shlemus. V'afil mashas b'tov ra'ah. V'sivu v'gilgul sholach alkudas ashlemus. Alek shekol zman helam ayichu tzor sheichu adolam k'seder azeh. So, in the Shoresh, the world has one matara, and that is to become good, to go to the good, and so on. There are no two mataras. But in terms of how it's happening, and what's the flavor of it, and what's the structure of it, then it's tovara and cause and effect, and so on and so forth. So let's look at the different interactions between shleimus, between yichud, and anhaga torah. One, the shayrish and the makor is identical. The makor is rotzel heitev. He wants to make a world that's good, and that's the shayrish of it. Two, the end, the two paths come together. Three, while they're concurrent, there's a concurrent mahalach of toiv of yichud happening with tov ra'ah. And fourth, occasionally you can see through and see where they're aligned. Most of the time, in that period between the beginning and the end, they seem to be very, very conflicted. They seem to be extremely distinct from each other. The world seems to be sort of thrashing about and sort of treading water at best, or flopping, and here you have something which is and it's coming around in the cipher. Okay. We also need to understand in each midah how is this coming from shleimus. So we need to understand how each midah is part of that shleimus. So, lemashal, if a person has food that tastes very good, he has like a very, very fancy dish, and then he has a box with raw materials, you know, ginger and saffron and olive oil and whatever. So there's a chachma to understand in this final taste that you taste so good, what is the role of each one of these? What's the hint of ginger putting into that flavor? And a lot of times it's not the same. A lot of times when you combine them, they take on a whole different texture, and it takes a lot of chachma to figure out in each one what's coming out of it.
So our responsibility is to constantly try to analyze our individual and our national lives.
It's one of the studies of Torah. One of the studies of the Bimis of Torah is understanding the role that each midah has when it's part of a whole. You know, it's just like group dynamic. Let's give an example. In a group dynamic, it might be important to have somebody who's a contrarian. So, LaMarshall, you're trying to get everybody to vote Democrat. So you have a large group of people. So when you have one person, you want to convince them to vote for Democrats. When you have a group of people, it might be
Donald Trump.
To have a Donald Trump there, you know.
Don't get started. He's a big fan right here.
Okay, it's not a pun.
To push the rest of the crowd towards that belief.
And that might be his role. His role might be to be, and sometimes it's more subtle than that. You know, sometimes it's important. I'm trying to show that I understand, and I'm misachistim, and I'm taking into account. And there are a lot of different cheshbonos, but what things. Just like my best muscle is when you have light and you combine red, blue, green, yellow light, you get white light. You say yourself, well, how did that come from? You know, when you combine all the different colors of the spectrum, you get white light. And the answer is because it's a, you know, they somehow cancel each other out, and the light that you get is white. So understanding the role each plays is one of the studies of this Indian, of that
unhug. You know, it seems to me like, you know, you go to culinary school, you're developing a sense of what the various tastes are and
right.
what the combinations are, and when you have various tastes with the combinations, so like you have enough experience in the broad subject matter that you can make reasonable conclusions and assumptions. You have something like Eric Zisrael. Like, what's the thing? Yeah, there's so many myriad possibilities as to what Don Shkuffle was trying to do.
What do you mean, Eric?
How was playing?
So I guess the
fact that it's we have it, but it's fry and it.
If I can sum up what you're stating is that it's a stroll is far more complex than a cake. So I think
it seems like it's infinitely complex to the
correct.
Point that you could what could you even
so
draw
my
from it?
My belief
you just,
is
you end up sounding stupid when you try to make a statement.
So my belief is there are chachamim. You know, I want to tell you something. Despite the fact that it's not my shita and it's not my world, but some of the things Rav Kook said seem to have been very prescient. His point was that in the big picture, Eretz Yisrael is what's going to where it's going to happen. How will happen? People will come to Eretz Yisrael from all over. The etzem fact they want to come to Eretz Yisrael is a certain point of Yiddishkeit. They're going to build the goof and then put the neshama in. You know what? Could one say that you needed fryer people to build a country because you never could have had different people build a country? Could you say that? And Arashe Husham, different people did not have it. And so fryer people were driven. Can you say that for many Jews today, Eretz Yisrael is birthright is the last thing that can get people to go? Look around in Orthodoxy. Much modern Orthodoxy has changed the Tova because of the year or two they spent Eretz Yisrael. Piggybacked on Eretz Yisrael. You know, I don't know. You know what? It's something that you can see points to it, and you can see a bigger picture to it. I don't know. You know, there's something there. The type of Torah community that has developed there. I don't know. You know,
doesn't everybody say that? Like at best, what you get is these brief points of intersection between.
Yes, and you look at it and you say to yourself, maybe it's okay. You're talking about. My belief is obviously in Eretz Yisrael. You're talking about the sum total of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hashgacha. This is Klal Yisrael. You know, I mean, you're talking about it, and it's not going to come in one shot. It's like my muscles are the Rubik's Cube. A very very unsophisticated child tries to get all the reds together and then all the whites. Doesn't work. But
Chacham, right
when you're doing it, when you're doing it, what?
There's a Rubik's Cube revolution. The Torah score right now. You go to the right time. All
okay.
The kids walking around with it.
Right.
16 moves. It's all thing.
Right. So and then and the last minute it just snaps into place. And you know it doesn't. It when you're inexperienced with it, it doesn't look like that.
It almost seems like that.
No. I'm sorry. Going off to this a little bit. And this is a question just about like, is it valid? Like. It, to feel ambivalent when you read about, I just saw this article the other day, Tel Aviv has now become the play place of all the rich Hollywood secular Jews. And like, so the article was, of course, how great Tel Aviv is. It's like this, it's a world party capital now. Now,
it was the number one friendliest city to gays in the
world. Part of me just wants to say, like, well, the whole place should be thrown down. But we're not, I mean, is there supposed to be also like, wow, there's something incredible about that it's part of Eretz Israel. It's does that make sense? I mean,
it's,
you can't say 100% I want it to be wiped out, God forbid, right?
You have to look at it in both.
of faith, right? Like, there's a certain amazing...
You have to look into the realistic. Say yourself, you know what? I mean, it somehow keeping them connected.
Right, right.
Maybe this is giving us another chance.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. So that's right. That's how we're supposed to.
It's
it just seems like a dangerous game. Like anything that crosses the threshold of, you know, meaningful events is necessarily in the realm of events that become extremely hard to make any meaningful statement about. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, some small event of Hashgacha Pratis that a person has in his life, you know, like, well, yeah, and I punked and I went and I had my keys and I found them and Baruch Hashem, Hashgacha Pratis. Okay, whatever, right? But that doesn't pass any kind of meaningful threshold. It's just like, right. You know, very nice, wonderful, right? Once something passes the threshold of true significance, almost by definition, it becomes really hard to tease out what that significance even is. The Paris attacks. Well, like, I don't know. I mean,
but if you step back and you say to yourself, Europe is becoming increasingly uncomfortable there, or vice versa, you know, Islam and Christianity are clashing here. Could it be that Europe will become Muslim? And to me, it has a lot more to do, it has nothing to do with the strength of the Muslims as much as with the sterility of the Christians. I mean, the fortress of Christianity is Europe. And Europe is dying. They're not reproducing themselves.
They're below replacement level.
They're below replacement level, and they're not changing. So does that mean this is the sunset of Christianity? It's certainly liberal Christianity, certainly Protestant Christianity. I mean, Roman Catholics are still in Africa and in Latin America, but in terms of that, and in America also, you know, white America is not reproducing. So is this a change? In 100 years from now, will Christianity be a shadow? I mean, they had an article in the New York Times a few months ago about
where?
The church, in the New York Times, about churches that are becoming like ice skating rinks in Europe because there's simply no demand for it. So are we seeing the sunset of Christianity? It's an incredible event. It's a big that's a big change. I don't know. You know what? It's
or the genuine challenge of liberal Western values.
Exactly. I mean, to me, it has a lot more to do. Until they invented the pill, children were a Carly effect of having a good time. So you know, Carly damage. And collateral damage. But now, Baruch Hashem, we're able to solve the problem. Yes. So people have to make a choose. Do I want children to continue? Do I have a legacy to pass on to children? Is there a musik of l'dor b'dor? The answer is no. Man, that's an incredible. The first mitzvah Torah is puravu, and you wonder about that. And you see that everyone's life is in themselves. That's it. You know.
It sort of presupposes. That there is something to give over.
And
the more
correct.
Empty the internal delta chun becomes.
The music, you know what? I mean, one of the great distinctions to me between a Jewish and a non-Jewish family is a word that doesn't have an English counterpart, and that's nachas. I mean, people are unhappy if their children can't make it, and especially if they fall as a burden on them, if they're messed up. If they're doing well, it's great. The music to follow in my footsteps, I don't have footsteps to follow. I've lived a great life, I've done well, and that's it. So, I'm proud of you, son, doing great. I'll be there for you, don't worry. But the music of I have something that I'm being mamshich, that's a very, very incredible message. That's the core of Yiddishkeit and l'chol zarech achrecha, of us ubanim. These are core. They don't exist in Umasola. Just don't exist that way. So of course there's no Indian to have kids. You know, they have these articles. How much a kid costs? Is it worth it? You know, weigh the value of X against Y. They had an article in Time magazine about a year and a half ago, I assume. I have it. It's having it all without kids.
Having it all without kids.
Yeah, and it was about all these wonderful, famous Hashanah people that don't have any kids. I think including one of the great thinkers and saints of our generation, Rebbe Oprah. kids. She doesn't, you know, and if she doesn't have kids, she by says knows what she's doing. So it goes like this. So they interview people, asking them. So everybody explained how wonderful it is. It was a choice, but it's wonderful. They can afford things they never could have afforded. I think raising the average kid is $280,000, and that's without tuition and without hats and suits. So that's it. So one person said that they wanted to enjoy themselves, and they figured kids is a lot of money and time, and it. So okay, you know what? It was an honest answer. One person said it's my mother's fault. She was such a super fantastic mom that I could never be like that, and it was too hard of a parent to follow. I wanted to say, pardon me while I throw up. You know, like just why don't you just say. And much more comfortable person says, you know, I'm selfish. Then somebody says, my values and charity is from my parents, and I can't even live up to it. So I know. I mean, sick. You know, it's like.
Plus, I accuse my side.
Yeah. But that's the Ruach HaDvarim. It's not, you know, it's. Okay. He says, I guess a good marshal would be as following. Whenever you're studying the human body, if you're studying the liver, so you want to figure out how the liver works as a liver. You know, where does it get its blood from, and where does it have to get rid of its waste product, and so on and so on and so forth. Then you also want to figure out how the liver is part of an organism. How is it part of a big organism? And what does it contribute to everything else? So here also, in every pa'ula, in every anhaga, you want to figure out how that hug itself is, and then how it interacts with others, and so on. How is it bringing about the Mitzvah Mashiach? Everything is a point in its own right, and how it has shaykhus to the big anhaga. Okay, let's see one more. V'omnam oydish nadas, shekonyar me'ilu kulam t'irak b'tzayni sparach. So yes, on the one hand, they are legit. So gravity exists and can be studied in its own right and should be understood. But a person needs concomitantly to understand that it's all Tali Bert Sinai. Okay, we'll hold it here.
Mark?
Yes, Nun Zayin.